Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO. And today's episode, Ian and Michael join me again for a discussion on the top of the Intentional Accompaniment Framework, Holiness and Mission. Before we get started, if you have any questions about evangelization, please email us at podcast@cco.ca and we'll answer them in a future episode. All right, let's dive in. Alrighty, welcome back to the podcast, Ian and Michael.
Thanks, good to be
here. Thanks, Gerhard.
Yeah, so we're continuing on our conversation from last week on the Intentional Accompaniment Framework. Last week we talked about the bottom half of the framework, so the different thresholds and stages that someone passes through on the way to conversion. And then this week, we're going to be talking about the upper half of the framework. So you can think of it as an hourglass. And in the middle of the hourglass, the pinch point is conversion, where someone makes the intentional choice to enter into a relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And we want people to be disciples of Christ, but we also want people to become missionary disciples of Christ in that they, out of the relationship with Christ, they go and bring others into relationship with Christ. So when someone has someone we've been journeying with and accompanying has had a conversion, we don't want to dust our hands off and say, all right, work here's done and completely disappear. There's still work to be done. However, the nature of the work changes. So today we're going to be talking about that change and that taking them from being now an intentional disciple to being an intentional missionary disciple. Mm-hmm. In the pre-show, we talked a little bit about the two aspects of this second half of the funnel, the holiness side of things and the mission side of things, and that it all comes from our baptism, that we're called to be both holy and we're called to go out and proclaim the gospel. Michael, would you be able to provide a little bit of context how the grace of baptism ties in with holiness and mission?
Sure. As you said, like the main thing to know is that it just is part of the baptismal call, that when we are baptized into the body of Christ, that we then share in the call of the head of that body, which is the Lord himself. And really, he is the body and we are all members of that body, and we're called to imitate our Lord. And he calls us in the Gospels to two very particular things. He calls us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And so then we are to grow in holiness, to grow, to conform our hearts to him and conform our lives to him in every aspect of our life, that it conforms to the gospel, it conforms to the call of Christ. But then he also gave us the mission of proclaiming the gospel, which we see in every one of the Gospels. There's a variation of that call to mission. The most famous, of course, at the end of Matthew's gospel, where he says, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and so on. So each of us then, by being baptized into Christ, we're called to be like him. We're called to follow in his footsteps. We're called to follow the call that he's given us. And we see it very clearly that he calls us to both. And then you can see that play out in the early church. Just read through the Acts of the Apostles, read through any of the letters of Paul. He also calls everybody, Paul does, and the Acts show us that the disciples got that, and they immediately went to work, starting with Pentecost and then right on through, that it's just a story of growth in relationship with God, but also of bringing the gospel to the worlds, to all the ends of the earth, that everyone needed to know, and they were willing to do whatever it took. So yeah, each of us then, and that's been confirmed by the church, over and over again, whether it's the writings of the popes, the saints, the early church fathers, the, Second Vatican Council, you name it, that over and over again, it's been affirmed and reaffirmed for us that we are all called to holiness and we're all called to mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how throughout our lives as Catholics, we've been hearing about our call to holiness and our call to mission our whole Catholic life, but we might have missed it.
Yeah.
It's not until we've had that personal conversion to becoming an intentional disciple. And the call to mission, it's almost like a second conversion for some people sometimes too. It's like a missionary conversion. It turns your ears on. So like just a couple of highlights. little ways where the call to holiness and the call to mission are right there in front of us as Catholics, and we might have missed it. In the baptismal rite, the priest after, I'm pretty sure it's after the child's been dunked in the waters, he brings the holy oils and he's blessing their ears to hear God's word, you know, to understand and to grow in understanding of who God is, holiness, you know, and then your lips to proclaim his love. So right there in the baptismal rite, it's very clear. We're not just meant to hear, but we're also meant to proclaim. And then in the Mass, the word Mass and the word mission come from the same Latin word. The end of the Mass used to be ite missa est, go, you are sent. You know, we're sent on mission from every Mass. And the different closing, you know, in, what's the, not exactly sure of the word, but as the deacon or the priest will send you out, you know, he'll say, go and proclaim the gospel of the Lord by your life. That's, we're sent every single time we're at Mass to go proclaim.
Both a proclamation of the witness of our lives, but it needs to be an active proclamation as well. Like you can't, going back to the dating relationship that we, or the dating analogy that we started in the last episode, you can't just love someone, or I mean you can, but your relationship's not going to be the healthiest if you just love someone and show them through your actions. Like it'll take you to a certain level, but once you actually start telling that person that you love them and how much the relationship means, and once you actually start opening up your mouth and actively saying things, then the relationship really starts to come alive. And that's where for us as well, like our passive witness will have an impact, but our evangelical efforts really won't come alive until we open our mouth and actually start saying things.
Yeah, if we don't provide a defense for the hope that is in us, a reason for why we act the way we act, people will create their own reason, right? It's like, oh, he's a crazy church person.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, he's a weird Catholic. Like if we tell them about the faith and then they can understand the reasons behind our behavior, that can be actually attractive.
And it doesn't take much of reading, you know, the Holy Fathers since the Second Vatican Council. Read any of them and they will tell you point blank, you are called to both holiness and mission and there is no question about it. There's no way around it. You know, you can read Paul VI, you can read John Paul II, Benedict XVI, Pope Francis, like all of them. We don't have much from John Paul I. He only was around for 33 days as a pope. So, but you just go through all of them. It is so abundantly clear that these, and maybe Pope Benedict put it most succinctly when he just said, holiness and mission are two sides of the same coin. You know, you can't have one without the other. And that's the summary really that you'll see in any of those other popes that you'd read, that it's just abundantly clear we are called to both and we can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one thing that in this idea of holiness and mission, none of us go from like, okay, I've just had my conversion to now I'm St. Paul. Like even St. Paul himself, he needed some time away after the conversion to deepen his relationship with the Lord. And like he took time away before he went on mission. And for all of us, once we have that point of we have that conversion, none of us go from zero to hero overnight. It's a process. It's a journey. And we have different, I'll let Ian or Michael, one of you say the different, like, let's say missionary and holiness thresholds that we have. But in that none of us can make that journey on our own. We still need accompaniment through that, which is why this part of the framework is part of the accompaniment framework is because, yeah, your journey, your work does not end with the conversion. The nature of the work you do may change in flavor.
Yeah. I think it's important to just kind of point out right here too that the way we put together the framework is for the typical lay person who's journeying with the people in their life. So when we talk about growth in holiness between childhood, adolescent, and adult, we're not saying that you're going to be able to walk with somebody, you know, to borrow St. Teresa of Avila, like right to the seventh mansion or something like that. You're not going to become a spiritual director for these people. And the picture we're going to paint today of that side of the chart, of the framework in particular, is not everything that a person needs in terms of holiness, but it is what the average Catholic can offer to somebody that they're accompanying, and you'll be on pretty sure ground and they'll grow in maturity. So that's just kind of an important point there. It's not the be all and end all, really. Like we said in the last episode, conversion is not the end. It's the beginning of the rest of your life. And in a way, when we talk about adult and holiness on this framework, that's not the end. It's the beginning of a crazy amount of depth that the Lord can take you on. So just to kind of put that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then so Ian, you've mentioned the three thresholds for holiness. So we have child, mm-hmm. adolescent, and adult. What would be the three thresholds of the mission side of things?
So on the mission side, we talk about witnessing, proclaiming, and multiplying. So for a person who's just had their conversion, right off the bat, they have something to offer. Somebody was saying, I was listening to another podcast, they put it really, really well. And they were quoting someone else. So I don't remember exactly who the guy was. If you know, comment, on the podcast, let us know who this was. But basically, for mission, it's imperative that you get involved before you're ready, essentially. That success in ministry is actually, you need to dive in before you feel ready for you to have the right disposition. For a person who's just had their conversion, they've got a story they can share. They can be sincere and open with people in their lives about the incredible transformation that they're undergoing. They may not be ready to defend it. They may not be ready to fully explain it, but they've got something to offer there. And actually, it's when they come up against, oh, I don't know how to respond to that. I should probably go learn something. That's going to drive them forward, to grow more in holiness, to grow more in their understanding of how do I even evangelize. If we wait until we have everything ready, we're not going to have the humility that's needed in evangelization because we're going to think, I have all the answers. It's actually very important that people kind of start that witnessing as soon as possible because it keeps us humble, keeps us growing.
You'll also never go anywhere because if you're waiting until you're completely ready, you'll never be ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
You'll never, ever do it because you're never going to be there.
Yeah.
A great example from the Gospels is just the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4. Right, she has that encounter with Christ. She's not Jewish. She's not part of the Jewish faith. The Samaritans are it's an offshoot of the Jewish people, but they've intermixed with a bunch of other faiths and that sort of thing. So she just went to get water. She has this encounter with Jesus, who she doesn't know who he is, but by the end, she's asking the question, could he be the Messiah? And it's interesting, her testimony, because she immediately goes back to the village, and her testimony is not, come and meet the Messiah. It's could he be the Messiah? ? And then everybody goes, but she has a testimony, but even in the midst of it, it's so unpolished.
And very open in that she doesn't have the answer.
Yeah, it's like, transparent. And then they all say, we believed because of your testimony, because she said, come and meet this guy. He told me everything about my life. Could he be the Messiah? She made the connection. And of course, he had said that to her, and she asked, are you the Messiah? And he said, yes, we're waiting for the Messiah. He says, it's me. So she's heard it from him, but there's still a question because she asked the question. So she's still wrestling with it, but yet her witness still brought a whole village to an encounter with Jesus. And then they say, now we don't believe just because of your testimony now, but now we've met him and now we believe because of what we've seen. And that's an example for anyone who's just had their conversion that nobody is too green to share of their experience. You may not have a polished, tight 3-minute testimony and the kerygma just rolling off your tongue in the most succinct and powerful way possible, but you're ready to share your story. And sometimes that's the most powerful thing because it's just, it's raw and authentic, and it brings people to an encounter with the one you've encountered.
Practical tip for people who are, maybe they feel like that's where you're at, or you're thinking about testimony, what is my testimony? If you think it very fruitful to reflect on your journey with the Lord, highly, highly recommend. And you could just write page after page about what God's done in your life. And that's good. You should do it. If you have never done that, sit down, take some prayer time, maybe in the next week and do that. From that, see if you can pull out just what was God doing in my life? What did he change in my life? If you can get that in a short kind of answer about what the Lord transformed for you, the new life you found, the questions that you had prior, or the purpose you were looking for in life, and how God has fulfilled that. That's kind of the key nugget that will compel other people to go, hey, I have similar questions, or, you know, I would like that kind of transformation in my life. So we don't necessarily need to share, like, our, it's tempting in our testimony to go into like all the theological questions and the reading and the wow, Thomas Aquinas is amazing. And that's all good and true. But what's going to impact people's lives is, yeah, what changed for you and why?
Mm-hmm.
And could that be something that I could have too?
Thank you for listening to our show. I hope that this podcast is helping you deepen your relationship with Christ and equip you to be a better evangelist. If you have found that this podcast has benefited you, please rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. This will help us to reach new audiences and to lead others to Christ. For those of you looking to accelerate your evangelical efforts, use the discount code PODCAST at store.cco.ca to receive 10% off your next purchase. That's PODCAST in all caps. You can find the code as well as a link to the store in the show notes below. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, and one topic of discussion that I think we can kick around here is when we talk about holiness and mission, I think a lot of us separate it in two separate categories. So there's holiness, and we think, okay, I got to be holy. You're thinking of like the great mystic saints that were cloistered or like separated from the world and, you know, had these profound experiences. And when you think mission, it's like, okay, St. Paul, St. Francis, Xavier, guys that went out and did incredible things. But I don't think we often think about how connected they are and how necessary both are to your faith life in general. So it is definitely possible that you could be like, let's say, an adult in terms of holiness, but like still a, like at the witnessing stage of the mission side of things. But how are the two connected, and how symbiotic are they with each other?
Mm-hmm. There, you can't get around one without the other. Like you, mm-hmm. or you can't get around the connection between the two. I mean, you think about it this way, right? Like if you want to evangelize, the church is very clear. The principal agent of evangelization is the Holy Spirit. And the only way we get connected with the Holy Spirit is as we grow in relationship with Him, which is holiness. As we grow in our relationship with God, that is, you know, one of the main things that we're doing in growing in holiness. And so we have to grow in our holiness so that He can work through us to evangelize. Because without the Holy Spirit being the power source of our evangelistic efforts, they're going to go nowhere. Then it's just my words. And I can be as eloquent or as not eloquent, but it doesn't matter. Because if it's just my words, it's not going to stick. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to move a heart. And so we need that. But then as you begin to reach out to people, and you're taking steps forward in evangelization, you're going to realize how inadequate you are. And you're going to come up against situations that you go, I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I feel like I said it wrong. How do I convince this person? I desire conversion so much for this person that I love, but you know, where do I go? What do I do? And so you're driven to your knees and you say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this without you. You need to do something. Mm-hmm. And then He does. And so they build off each other, that as you grow in mission, it's going to drive you to your knees. As you pray for souls, as you realize that your words are never enough, but what the Lord can do through you is what can actually make a difference in someone's life. But that just draws you into a deeper relationship with God. And as we get to a deeper relationship with God, God's heart is for His people. You know, what does God want most in the world? He wants to have every person in a deep, intimate relationship with Him, so that we can spend eternity with Him. That's the whole reason we exist on earth. That's the whole reason He created us. So He wants that so deeply. As we draw closer to the Father's heart, we'll be drawn to people. We'll be drawn to mission, because then our heart conforms to His, and His says, I want every soul. Mm-hmm. I want every person to know me. And so then we are driven to mission because of our heart that is conformed to the Father's. And then as we're driven to mission, we realize we can't do it. And then we're back on our knees again and saying, I don't know what to do. And they just go back and forth. And so it's, I think, very common to see one will kind of pull the other along, you know, like maybe your holiness is going to pull up your mission that might be a little bit lacking. And then as your mission grows, it's going to pull your holiness along with it, because you realize I can't do this on my own and I need the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, a person can fake it on either side. It's just a matter of time until the wheels fall off. So like if you're faking it on the mission side, that you learn a lot about the kerygma, you learn a lot about the apologetics and the techniques and different things, and you're doing it on basically human wisdom, you'll probably see some success. Because the Lord's gonna take the truth that you're saying and use it to change people's lives. But if you're not living deeply with him and allowing him to change your heart, the lack of sincerity and the hypocrisy that you're living is gonna eat you from the inside out. Mm-hmm. Now you're either gonna burn out or you're gonna flame out. Like you're gonna burn out in that you're tired because you're doing this all on your own strength, or you're gonna flame out because the lack of moral integrity in you is gonna manifest in some sort of scandal. Like it's going to crash and crash hard one way or the other. Mm-hmm. On the holiness side, it's also possible to read a lot and just go deep and take in the sacraments and take in retreats and just be a kind of a spiritual glutton almost. But you're going to be ignoring. You're going to have to ignore the Lord calling you at every step of the way where he says to go. And you're going to have this relationship with God where you're listening with one ear and like plugging the other one. And I can tell you, like any relationship where you're only half there, you're only going to go so deep. It's going to be stunting to your growth and holiness if you don't finally pour out. An analogy that's been used before is breathing. If you just breathe in holiness, I'm going to pass out. Like I can't just keep breathing in. Like I need to breathe out as well. But if you only breathe out, you're going to pass out too. So like you need to breathe in and out. The holiness and mission need to come together.
For sure. And for the mission side, I think particularly for a lot of our listeners, but I think for a lot of Catholics today, I think the mission side is what gets a lot of people. It's like, yeah, sure, the holiness, like growing and understanding my faith. Yeah, sure. Like, you know, prayer, I can do that. But I think the mission side scares people. It's like, ooh, I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to be vulnerable. Like, what if I'm seen as, you know, oh yeah, there's that Catholic guy, but actually I questioned him. He doesn't know anything. I think that terrifies a lot of us. And I think just a word of encouragement for any of you out there that are feeling that's like, don't be afraid. Our Lord will provide you opportunities with where you're at. Like he's, if you're really nervous about it, he's not going to tell you, okay, get up and go convert, you know, this subcontinent. He'll meet you where you're at, and he provides opportunities in your life. Like if you're married and you've got kids, there's your mission field right there. Again, in there, like let's say you go play sports. Well, the buddies on your soccer team, mission field. Don't be afraid to start with what you have where you're at, and the Lord will draw fruit from that. When we're speaking of mission, for some of our listeners, that will mean going on a literal mission to some other part of the world to share the gospel. For others listening, your mission may just be the people in close proximity around you. One is not inherently better than the other. Like,
yeah,
just the fact you're doing it is key.
And I'll ante up on what you just said there. I will say that like your call is the people that you have in close proximity. Your call is to witness in that place. Because if you are called to go to Africa or something like that, but you don't give a darn about the friends and family and people around you here, I think the Lord wants you to go deeper there before you go. Or while you're over there, he's going to show you how to have a bigger heart for the people in your life. Because that's all we have. Like if we don't love the brother or sister that we do see, how can we say we love, you know, the God we don't see or the people we don't see?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where, you know, with the way the framework is set up, it's meant to help for when we're not feeling prepared, you know, to help move you forward in that. So we start with witness. We start with the idea that you can just share allow other people to share in your life, that you can speak about the experiences you've had with the Lord. You can just be a good Christian witness on your street with your neighbors, but with a purpose, that it's not just I'm going to be a nice person to everybody around me and never let them know, but they should know that you're the Catholic neighbor who also is really friendly and also is really helpful and is not afraid to speak about your faith. And then you will grow in that witness. And that might even get to the point where you're sharing your testimony with people and sharing of your own experience, that you will grow into being able to proclaim. And that's when we're going to get You know, for us who are, you know, working with someone, you know, accompanying somebody who's growing in that mission, that they're going to learn how to proclaim the gospel in a clear and simple way. They're going to proclaim the kerygma and know how to speak of the faith in a concise way that brings someone to an encounter with Christ and puts the offer in front of them. Do you want to know the Lord? Do you want to put Jesus at the center of your life? And then the next step is multiply, that you're going to then begin to teach other people how to teach other people, mm-hmm. to equip missionaries. So it's not just about, well, if you want to put it in the framework, it's not just about the pre-conversion or even bringing someone to conversion, but it's also then working with, you know, as an accompanier, working with someone so that they can begin to accompany others, so that the person they're accompanying can accompany others. And then that ministry chain can form, so that you should be able to start meeting people years down the road who've been equipped by somebody, who was equipped by somebody, who was equipped by you. And you start to see these change in the multiplication effect that happens then, as that, you know, as exponential growth should kick in, as, you know, we equip other people, and it just, you know, now my effort has been multiplied through that person. You don't, as you said earlier, Gerhard, you don't start as a multiplier. 99 times out of 100, you know, somebody doesn't come out of the gate from their conversion, they start multiplying into others, and they probably shouldn't, because they haven't yet grown and there's a lot of growth that has to happen in them. But they absolutely can start to witness. And so for us, in accompanying people, we want, when we see someone go through a conversion, we want to immediately help them to grow in holiness, but also make sure that they understand that they're called to mission, and then make sure that they start doing it. And the way we can do that is by helping them learn how to be a witness to their faith, again, both in the witness of their life, but also in what they say, and teaching them that it's not just about the witness of life, but actually the witness of word has to follow the witness of life for it to be complete.
Yeah. Just kind of thinking again about the person who might be listening to this, and they're like, okay, this framework thing, what's the clear and simple, like what's happening on the holiness side, what's happening on the mission side? If you could tell me in 10 seconds, I'm going to try. So like on the holiness side, what we're talking about is a growth in independence and maturity. Like, again, like I said at the beginning, this is not the be all and end all and everything there is to know about holiness. But for us, as we're accompanying people, you can help people go from that childlike, you know, stage where they don't even know how to pray. So we help them learn how to pray. They don't know anything about the moral life. So we're going to show them like what's the root of, you know, Christian teaching on discipline in your words, discipline in your actions and the way you treat people, and like, you know, growing in all of that. Adolescent stage, it's a growing independence. You know, you're starting to, like, they're praying on their own. They're starting to understand that God is speaking to me in my life and in my prayer. And we try to help them navigate that, try to connect them into other support systems as well, like other resources to continue that growth. So it's not just dependent on us, because we don't want them dependent on us. They might be when they're a child, but we want them to grow beyond that. And then as an adult, they're independent. They're independent in their search for deeper holiness with the Lord. And that's why I say, like, adult is not the end of the line. It's really a beginning. Now they're fully committed to their own personal growth and holiness. And they've got like a spiritual director or a community that they learn from on a regular basis. And their formation is going to go for the rest of their life. So that's the holiness side. On the mission side, I think we've been getting into that pretty well. Like the witness, just sharing about our lived relationship with the Lord, being real about the changes that are happening in our lives with the people around us, proclaiming Christ clearly and simply with the opportunity for people to respond. It's the proclaiming side of things, and multiplying, being able to do that for others. And that actually has mostly to do with just a mindset shift, just understanding that I should be thinking more than just, can I bring you to a relationship with the Lord? I want to think beyond that to, like, who are you going to reach? You know, how can I help you reach more people?
Thanks for joining us today for our conversation on the top half of the Intentional Accompaniment Framework, Holiness and Mission. If you have any questions, comments, queries, quandaries, conundrums, or otherwise, please email us at podcast@cco.ca. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share us with your friends. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.